This is episode 322 of Jumble Think.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Jumble Think, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning their dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. Our guest on today's show is Jan Hogru. More about Jan in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, you've never subscribed to Jumble Think, you should do it right now. Head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts, search for Jumble Think, and click subscribe. For links to places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and more, head on over to jumblethink.com. Now let's join today's conversation. Hey there, welcome to Jumble Think. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host, and we have a super fun conversation lined up for you today. Before we dive into that, we want to thank our friends over at Floxy for sponsoring today's show. Floxy is your monthly subscription to amazing graphic design, web development, and video editing services. You can learn more about them by heading on over to Floxy, Flocksy.com/JumbleThink. And because you're a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to give you 10% off your first month. So head on over, Flocksy.com/JumbleThink. Our guest on today's show is Jan Hogru. Jan is the founder and creator of Just Jan's. They produce a full line of gourmet fruit spreads and foods made from recipes created by Jan and without artificial ingredients or preservatives. This is a super fun conversation. We're going to talk about working in the world of Hollywood. We're going to talk about making pivots in your life. We're going to talk about food production and creating really yummy things. This is just a super fun conversation. So sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation we had with Jan Hogru. We are with Jan Hogru today. Jan, welcome to Jumble Think.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited because, well, one, you make food and I like food. Especially tasty food, and what you make looks like beautiful. So super excited to talk about how you started out and what you did. So let's start out with, I simply want to hear a little bit of your backstory. I'd love to hear kind of the evolution because you kind of happened into this by accident.
Yeah, it really was by accident. Serendipity. I know the true meaning of serendipity. Prior to this accident happening, I was in the film industry. That's what I went to college for. That was kind of my life passion. Either I wanted to be in front of the camera when I was growing up, so I did the whole, I was dancer for 20 years. I'd like to perform. I did little theater and plays in school and whatnot. But as I got older, I decided that I liked the idea about being behind the camera from a creative standpoint. So I worked at Warner Brothers for a number of years, and then my husband at the time and I had a production company. We produced a lot of special features and behind the scenes for DVD when that was going on.
Yeah.
When that was just launching, really, because I was actually at Warner Brothers when we were launching DVD.
Wow.
And then we started producing segments for it, which was kind of a nice segue.
Yeah.
And loved it for a long time. The creative side of it, I was producing. We were producing anything from behind the scenes for Malpaso Productions, Clint Eastwood's company, to then switching over to doing a lot of things for animation, like the Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. So we had a lot of fun and made a lot of friends. So
yeah.
I actually am friends with Pinky and the Brain.
Is it the same person on that?
No, Maurice LaMarche is. The Brain.
Okay.
And Pinky is Rob Paulsen. They also cross over into Animaniacs and Tiny Toons. And
yeah,
if you just look them up, they're voice actors. These voice actors are just, and they're just cool people.
Yeah.
Super sweet. So we had a lot of fun with that until the landscape changed creatively in that world and budgets got smaller. And anyway, fast forward to, I planted a tree in my backyard, so I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but had a fig tree in my backyard, which just was bountiful, to say the least. And so I started making fig jam and giving it to family and friends, I would put it on cheese platter. So for me, it wasn't about peanut butter and jelly or toast. For me, it was about pairing it with cheese, since for me, that's the biggest food group is cheese.
Yeah. It's a good food group too. A very good food group.
I know. It should have its own category.
I agree.
So I would make it and give it to family and friends, or take it to wine and cheese parties, or, you know, whatever. So that was kind of a hobby for me. Mm. And while I was meeting a friend of mine who wanted to talk about a documentary project, we were at the local Starbucks, and I was kind of at a point in my life where the creativity, like I started to say, in the film industry was changing. Budgets were changing. My personal life was very, very much changing. So I was kind of putting it out in the universe that I was ready to change careers or do something else.
And when you say the landscape was changing, was it just because DVDs were changing into streaming? Like, what was the change that you're talking about?
Okay. So that's a good question. So it's a combination of things. So yes, studios weren't wanting to pay a lot of money for content anymore. Right. I think people were getting bored with, not bored, but it was, I guess, just the extra content wasn't quite the thing. I'm doing air quotes right now, like you can see me, but it wasn't as important to spend the money on that and doing commentaries and all those types of additional features as it had been when they first launched. Yeah. So that was part of it. And also the legal departments within the studio system became more stringent about what interviewees could say and could not say. So by the time you would start a project, or I'd propose a project to the studios. So it was kind of it was very challenging to be creative, because you couldn't be, you know, like I say, we were starting to propose projects, and they would basically take those projects and dial it down to kind of just benign conversation.
Yeah. Which no one really wants. Everyone wants the stuff that they're not going to get.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we had some really cool interviews that just never even made it to the light, and no one saw. I mean, wow. I'll share with you one little quickie.
Yeah.
We were working on Mystic River, so we were interviewing Clint Eastwood, and we had Sean Penn, where we were up at Skywalker Ranch up in Northern California.
Yeah.
And so Sean Penn didn't really want to stay that long. Clint came in early, and so they were both there together at the same time, and I said, hey, can we do a quick – it wasn't scheduled, but could we interview the two of you together? So we did, and they were – so much fun as a duo relationship.
Yeah.
So the bummer is it never got to see the light of day. Warner Brothers was kind of in a hurry to get that out, to release it. And anyway, I don't know. I think the footage is now with Malpasso, but I was kind of sad that it never got the attention that it could have, because it was just a fun interview between the two of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
So that being said, with the creative side of that, I kind of felt like it was time to do something else. And again, I didn't know what that something else was. I just knew that this business, I wasn't going to be staying in it much longer. My daughters were getting ready to go off to college. I had a senior year in high school. My mom was suffering from Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So I was taking care of her. And I think I needed something else to do, you know, that wasn't, and also my marriage was ending. So I thought starting a new business would be a really good idea, I guess.
It happens a lot.
Crazy times.
Yeah.
But, so when I was making this fruit spread and I handed it to this friend of mine who wanted to work on his documentary, he in turn introduced me to a gentleman that's in the food industry. Yeah. We're at the local Starbucks.
Yeah.
So this gentleman said, hey, he tasted it and said, I like this better than what's on the market today. Mm. Would you ever consider doing this for a living? And that's the question that changed my life.
Wow.
No joke.
Wow.
I mean, I guess I was listening. I was open.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was asked at the right time, and I was open to that. I had a spark of creativity that literally kind of took me to the market.
Yeah.
And I went to the produce department. I'm like, okay, let's see. So went in there and found some mangoes and some pomegranates, went home and turned into a mad scientist in my kitchen and took advantage of that creative spark and kind of started coming up with new flavors and ideas. And I thought, well, I can't just have fig. That can't be the only jar on the shelf.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the very beginning of it. So that was the long roundabout way, including my dog helping us out with that one.
So how long ago was that?
That was 2009 to 2010, right in there.
So you're about 10 years into this journey then.
Yes. And that first year and a half to 2 years was actually figuring it out. So meaning I actually hired that gentleman to be my consultant.
Okay.
He has a line of frozen foods and things. And so I went to meetings with him. I would bring new flavors to him since he was the expert. I sat with a food scientist to understand that process of scaling up and how things go in that respect, and designed my labels and my logo and just kind of played with different flavors and different recipes. So it took about a year and a half, and then I had to find someone that could make it for me, because in California, there was no cottage license availability here. So you couldn't make it in your home kitchen. Mm. That wasn't a thing.
Okay.
So I had to find someone who could make it for me.
So either a co-packer or a kitchen that could be used that's commercial and make it for you, basically.
Yes. So that took a while because I was very insistent on the product, whoever made it. One, I didn't want it to taste like Smucker's or anything commercial. I wanted it to taste homemade.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to taste like mine. So if it didn't, I didn't really want to do it. So that took a while. I went to Oregon and talked to some folks up there, and I was in California and ended up with a co-packer in Arkansas.
Wow.
So yeah, but they were able to make 6 of the 8 flavors that I wanted to launch with exactly like mine.
Wow. And it's really staying true to the fundamentals, good, wholesome products with a homemade feel that translates into good taste.
Exactly. Exactly. I want it to taste like home. I've actually had people say, wow, this reminds me of something my grandmother used to make. Mm. That's just like the best thing ever. I never anticipated that being a thing. But when people say that, and it's happened more than a few times, that's what keeps me going. So
for you, you know, you're talking about, you know, you're working in for Warner Brothers or working with Warner Brothers on some of this content. It's not going so well. You're thinking, well, maybe I need to make a pivot here into something different. When you started making these jams and jellies with the fig tree, that's what you make there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I was making the fig. Well, I thought it was fig jam. I didn't know the difference between a jam and a spread.
Okay.
And it turns out it's lack of sugar. So I use less sugar in all my product.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. That's really cool that, you know, I always just say, oh, it's a jam or a jelly. Just get me one of them. They work. So there is an actual difference then.
There is. You cannot legally label product a jam or jelly if it is below what they call, they actually measure sugar the same way they measure sugar content in wine.
Oh.
So it's by bricks.
Bricks, yeah.
And I have to be at 65 bricks or above to be considered a jam or jelly, and I'm not. I guess on average, approximately 14% lower.
Wow.
Which
has got to be healthier for you just from that not added sugar.
Yes. I mean, I do add pure cane sugar. Mm-hmm. Again, it's, for me, it's about, it helps preserve the product, and it also gives it a texture that I like, because I like it to be, like the fig, I like to be able to put it on cheese or, you know, have it be spreadable. So if I didn't use any sugar at all, it would be a runnier texture. So it was just a matter of preference for me. But yes, it's all about, for me, it was about the fruit. I wanted to taste the fruit, not the sweetness.
Yeah. Now, you know, you talk about 2008, 2009, 2010. You're exploring these different things. Now, I don't know if it would be considered canning, but making these, was that something that you had done as a child? Did you learn it from your grandparents? Like, where did that come from?
That's a great question. And I did. Well, so my biological father passed away when my mom was 7 months pregnant with me.
Oh, wow.
There's another story that goes on with that.
Yeah.
So my mom, she had a 15-year-old son to take care of my brother and me. And, sorry, I have a wild puppy next to me. I apologize for the distraction, but as we're all working from home these days.
Yeah.
So she had two of us to take care of. So she hired a nanny who was live-in, and her daughter, this nanny's daughter, lived up in Central California and had a farm.
Okay.
And so she had peach trees and apricot trees and plum trees. So I learned how to jar fruit and can fruit the old fashioned way where you do it. And you've got, you're doing it with the paraffin or the wax on top.
Yep.
So I learned it as a child, and we learned to make candy and divinity and fudge and all that with her. So I grew up in that world on this farm in Central California, but also just as a child growing up in Burbank, my mom was not a baker, but she entertained a lot. So we had fruit trees in our backyard. And I taught myself how to make lemon meringue pies so that when she would have a party, I would make her pies for her.
Wow.
That was my background. I've always loved to be in the kitchen. So it's not been something I was ever afraid of. I learned how to make candy. And I mean, I kind of had a sweet tooth, as you can tell by what I'm describing, but anyway. Yeah.
All right. So you start making the product and it starts seeing traction because people are trying it and just going, you've got to make this into a product that you're actually selling. As you approach that, you go into the store, you get some, I think you said mangoes and some other fruits. You try making different products like that and you kind of explore it. You go find your co-packer in Arkansas. What unfolds next? How did the product go from this is a concept and I've kind of found the nuts and bolts to put it all together into making it an actual business? What kind of unfolded next for you to walk through that process of saying, now it's actually a real life business?
Okay. So that was a process for sure. So part of the reason I could even justify doing this, because as I started looking at the financial aspects of it, I thought, okay, this is going to have a time limit on it.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure I'm able to sell it. So what I did was I would take my product to different places. A friend of mine has a winery in the Malibu area. So I took it to him and said, hey, what do you think? Would you carry this in your wine tasting room? And so I kind of made the rounds on, what do you think? Would this be, you know, be something you're interested in? And it just so happens that on one of the meetings I went to with my consultant, he was talking with a packaging guy and we're all talking about food. And the woman sitting at the table next to us was listening to our conversation. Mm-hmm. And she came over to the table and said, couldn't help but overhear, you guys are in the food industry. And he said, yes. And she said, well, I buy non-perishables for home goods nationwide.
Oh, wow.
I'd love to talk with you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I said, okay. Now, mind you, I haven't had a co-packer yet. I just have my jar, my little jars or whatever. So we met 2 weeks later and had a 5-hour meeting.
Wow.
And that is not an exaggeration. We met at noon. We didn't leave till 5.
Oh, my goodness.
And she basically said, I will wait for you to get packed in boxes, or in boxes, sorry, in jars.
Wow.
And then I will launch you nationwide.
Yeah.
So that's what she did. And it took a year for me to find that co-packer in Arkansas. And she kept her word. And she cut POs. And that was, for me, the justification I needed to be able to say, okay, I can put some money into this.
Yeah.
And do it. So that's a key point I don't want to gloss over for sure, because I don't know that I would have been able to meet the minimums that they have at the various co-packing stages or the co-packers. Some do less than others, but it was kind of daunting to say, okay, I have to sell at least 6,600 jars to people that don't even know I have a business, you know?
Right.
And it's not, you can't just walk into Ralph's or the grocery store and say, hey, can I put this on your shelf? It's a whole other process.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to someone last week who is in the jewelry space, and she talks about this random meeting with someone from InStyle magazine and how that was the launching point for her business. It always amazes me, you know, you used the word serendipity earlier, which I love. I love the movie. I think it's a great movie.
Oh, it's so good.
It's one of my favorites. And yeah. And it amazes me how often the big break isn't something that could be planned for or even positioned for. It just happens sometimes.
Right. No, that's very true. Isn't that? And I, again, goes back to the word serendipity.
Yeah.
And the kindness of strangers. Yeah. And I think it also falls into, I truly believe this, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing or what your path is or your groove, then I feel like things just start to fall into place. The universe listens, you know?
Mm. We're going to take a pivot here towards the end of this first segment. There's always a couple things that we ask. The first one being, how are you finding purpose in what you do?
Well, I love what I do, and I can't imagine doing anything else. So that's part of it. But the bigger part for me, and again, this is something I had not anticipated, was the community.
Mm.
People, not only the food community, like we did farmers markets for a while, and got to meet, you know, farmers and people that's all they do. They do farmers markets, you know, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's not this is a penny business. So
what does that mean? A penny business.
So I went from a business that there's a lot of zeros in the budget.
Okay.
To you're trying to shave a penny off your label here or there or whatever.
It's
crazy how much people, you know, how you're literally trying to shave costs.
Wow.
I think the inspiration or, you know, what keeps me going and to answer your question is that not only is it the community within the food industry, but also the people who taste my product and say, wow, you know, this takes me home or this tastes like something my grandmother make. And that right there for me is like the nicest compliment I can have, because to create somebody, you know, to bring somebody a memory back from their childhood is like, that's crazy.
That's golden.
I would have never thought of that. It is golden.
Yeah.
So that's what keeps me going on that level.
What is one challenge you're currently working to overcome?
Well, right now it's keeping my dog from interrupting our conversation anymore, but, well, right now I would say dealing with what's currently going on in the world and hoping to keep my business going. We can't ignore that this is happening.
Yeah. COVID-19 coronavirus is just for everyone listening. Make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. So that has been challenging just in that I'm a two person business. So it's my partner, Chris, and I. Wow. He joined me about two years into the business. And it's trying to juggle that because stores are closing. Stores that we're in are closing right now, you know, the little mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
So they can't stay open because they're keeping their employees safe or they're just small and people aren't going out anymore. And so I would say that's probably our biggest challenge right now, for sure.
And what's the next big dream, idea, or goal you have?
Yes. So we started working on gluten-free products because we do a lot of baking anyway when we do shows.
Yeah.
And I use my product in my food, you know, development. So if I'm baking oat bars or doing marinades or whatever, I use our different products to cook with. So that's one of the things that I like to do with it. It's not just about toast. We say it's not just for toast. So I put them in cocktails as well. The tangerine marmalade's great in a margarita. Mm. But anyway, so our newest endeavor is gluten-free flour mix, which probably won't be available for the consumer market, probably not till next year. We have it going in commercial brand right now into a CBD and THC cookie line. We're the ingredient for their gluten-free cookie. And we have got a snickerdoodle cookie mix we're working on the packaging right now, and that'll hopefully be in stores. We're working to get it in stores in 2020. So that's kind of where we're at. I know there's a lot of gluten-free product out there. I feel like a lot of it isn't edible. It kind of has a cardboardy thing, and that's just me. I know there are some good products out there, so I won't say there aren't, and they are getting better.
Yeah.
But felt like maybe we could contribute in that arena or throw our hat in there and see how we do with that. So I'd say that's probably the next biggest thing. And then obviously to continue to expand the Just Jan's line. I just finished a cherry spread, which I'm hoping also to release this year. Again, we're kind of in stop mode right now just because of what's going on with this virus and trying to conserve.
Yeah.
Conserve our resources and everything and just sell what we currently have. So those are the two things I'm looking to do this year.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to get into the story of the name behind Just Jan's. We're going to talk a little bit more about what she's creating and what she's doing, and we're just going to have a lot more fun. We'll be right back. Hey there, it's Mike. If you're like most small business owners, you may struggle with getting everything you need done in the day. And a lot of times, one of the things you're looking for is great graphic design. Maybe a new logo, flyers, brochures, business cards, even a new website or email campaign designed for you. You can't fit it into your day, so you need some help. Our friends over at Floxia are there to help you. So whether you need a new video, some graphic design, the perfect copy, or a new website, Floxy's there to help you. And as a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to give you 10% off your first month with a 14-day money-back guarantee. All you have to do is head on over to floxy.com/JumbleThink. That's Floxy, FLOCKSY.com/JumbleThink to get 10% off your first month. So head on over and get your perfect project completed for you. Now let's return to today's conversation. We are back with Jan. You know, we were talking offline between segments here, and I want everyone to know, you know, we are recording this in day 452 of, day 8 of the lockdown throughout the country.
That's what it feels like.
So we're still trying to figure out stuff like, how do we record episodes when pets have to be in the background or when you have extra people in the house, and how do you navigate that? We'll figure it out, and that's okay. And I know that you listening are going to enjoy the conversation nonetheless. Jan, before we dive in back into the conversation, how can people find and connect with you?
Okay, so our social media, we are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Mm. And those are all under Just Jan's Spreads. And that's with an S. There's a lot of S's in there, but it's Just Jan's Spreads. Just Jan's was taken, so okay. We had to figure out something else. So that's on our social media, and I do post recipes there. We try to keep pretty active. With new product, you know, info, but also just other things like I say, recipes to use with whatever jam you have in there. I mean, hopefully it'll be ours one day. Our website, of course, is justjans.com, and that's J-A-N like Nancy, S like Sam.com. And you can reach us via email there, or you can direct message us through any of the social media channels. I'm happy to answer questions or do custom orders if anybody's looking to do orders. I have to send out a bunch of packages today. Someone's sending sweetness to a whole bunch of friends. but also just to, I mean, if anyone has questions, we're also looking to help out people if they have canning questions or preserving questions at home. If they've got extra fruit lying around or they want to try and for the long haul with this, save those, you know, extra berries and they're just not going to eat them all or whatever right now. I'm happy to answer questions along those lines too, because I feel like what we're going through, obviously we're all in the same boat. And I'm a strong believer of community and helping where we can, because we are all in this together. And I think it's really important to share what we know.
Yeah. Love that for sure. And we haven't officially said this, but you, Just Jan's, manufactures spreads of different kinds of berries and fruits and everything like that, right?
Yes. And we also have a savory. We have an apricot pepper. So it's a little of my take on a pepper jelly.
Okay.
We use a little jalapeno, a little bell pepper, and fresh apricots. But I also have an award-winning hot sauce, which my partner, Chris, when I was away, I was graduating two twin daughters on two coasts. So one in California, one in New York.
Wow.
So I was for 10 days. And he was house sitting and taking care of my dog and my plants and everything else, and decided to make a homemade sriracha. And he paired it with my tangerine marmalade and came up with a tangerine sriracha that won us the equivalent of kind of a food Oscar. So we were one of 16 finalists in the best new category for 2016. And that was out of, I think, 4,300 entries. So that's a win.
Yeah, huge win.
Yeah.
And can people buy the product through the website?
They can. So definitely order on, you can order online on our website. We're also on Amazon, although I think the inventory is a little on the low side, but you can definitely check out Just Jan's. We have a storefront on Amazon. But also on our website, I'd like to note that there is a map and it is current.
Okay.
Took us a while to kind of get the right map that was sort of interactive, or at least be able to click on it and see where we are carried between here and the East Coast. So we're California, but we're in a lot of other states as well. So we're trying to continue that momentum as best we can, all things considered. So yeah.
Now, Just Jan's, I've been told by a couple different people as we prep for this that I have to ask the story behind the name. So tell us about this, because this fascinates me. It's not typical that we have different people tell us, you got to ask about the name.
Okay.
So I'm asking about the name.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Mike. No, the name, and this is not to make anyone sad, because the story, although it sounds like it's going in that direction, is anything but that. Mm-hmm. So when I was trying to come up with a name, so I have a design minor. I took graphic design in college. So I finally got to put it to good use with doing my art and my logo and everything for Just Jan's. But I remember sitting and trying to figure out, what would this name be? What do I want to do? What's the logo? I knew I wanted the fig to be included because that was the flavor that kind of started it all. Mm-hmm. So I came up with Just Jan's, and I can't for the life of me remember how that popped into my head, but I thought, I don't want to call it a jam company. I didn't know if I was, you know, going to make something else besides jams. At that point, I didn't even know I made a fruit spread. So I guess dumb luck on my part that I didn't call it a Jan's jam.
Yeah.
So I came up with that, and my mom was still alive at that time and still having lucid moments in her, you know, in and out of her dementia. And I said, you know, Mom, I think I'm going to call this company Just Jan's. And she said, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but when I was pregnant with you, and my father, my biological father, which I mentioned earlier, passed away when my mom was pregnant with me. She was 7 months pregnant. So, and he knew he was dying. So he had a heart condition, and he knew his time was limited. But he told her, he said, you know, I know you're going to have a little girl, and I want you to name her Just Jan. Not short for Janine or Janice or Jana. I want you to name her Just Jan. Wow. So she told me that, and I said, okay, that's the name. We're done.
Yeah. That seems so, like a cry moment right there.
Right? I know. And I do choke up when I tell that story. I do, because I feel like, again, it falls in line with, I know I'm doing the right thing. Mm. I know that, I mean, just from that woman sitting at the table next to me at a meeting I just happened to be at, you know, hearing my conversation and saying, I'll launch you. And we're very dear friends now. She's not my category buyer. We don't sell in home goods so much anymore. But just between that and some of the other kindness of strangers that I've met along the way to that story with my mom, I just know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And I want to talk about that a little bit more, because I talk to so many different people and they use words like this. They'll say, you know, one day when I have everything figured out, I'll go do the things that I want to do. Or, you know, I feel like I'm created for more, but, you know, it's just scary to take that risk. Or, you know, things are going well here and it's not really satisfying, but at least I know that it's the safe bet, or that I have a job and that I don't have to worry. What would you tell them on this journey? Because it sounds like for you, on the outside, it looked like, hey, Jan's got all this success. She's working on projects that are in collaboration with Warner Brothers, and she's doing all this stuff. But deep down, there was something else going on there. And I think a lot of our listeners have that feeling, and that's why we created JumbleThink, is to answer that question and challenge people. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, that's a real thing. So I feel like I don't know how this sounds to your listeners, but for me, it was about literally putting it out there in the universe. Mm. And I'll tell you what made me do that. I was reading an article in More magazine, and an article about a woman who completely shifted gears in her career and was making all kinds of money as a lawyer.
Yeah.
And she just couldn't do it anymore.
Wow.
And I don't remember the exact business she went into, but I feel like I recall she went to like growing herbs for restaurants or some completely like polar opposite, you know, going from how many figures in her financial world and being a lawyer to, again, it would be a penny business because anything in the food industry,
margins are small.
Yes. So I remember reading that article and thinking, I need to shift here. I need to shift. And I kind of put the magazine down and I thought, okay, what could I do? What's my passion? What am I good at? What are my strengths? What would be something I could do and make a living at?
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking to go, okay, I'm going to make $1 million at this. I just wanted to know. I felt stuck and I wasn't fulfilling what I wanted to do creatively because again, the business had shifted and changed, but I didn't know what that was. And again, using my air quotes again for that. But I think what I would say to people who have that, now, mind you, we continued to do our production business while I was developing and learning the food industry. So it wasn't a bad thing to transition after I got the question, what would you ever do this for a living? Mm. And knew that that's what I wanted to do. I literally had no fear. I jumped in. I was able financially to be able to pay to do this. I mean, I didn't have to pay for the creative side because I was designing all my own, but there are resources out there. I asked friends, told friends what I wanted to do. They were so supportive. Some were questioning my insanity or my sanity and would take my product or take my jars to different friends' parties and say, please taste this, and to friends and just say, here, what about this? And not to mention my daughters, I do need to give them a thank you on every time I talk about this because it was their senior year of high school. And I can't tell you how many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches they took to school for all the flavors I was creating. Like, here, try this. So I feel that if you've got something you're working on, or you found like something else that you're really passionate about, whatever that is, if it's writing or it's photography or, you know, the food industry, it definitely helped that I was still doing my other work to help pay for the transition and moving into the passion part, because inevitably there's financial gotchas that you don't expect, especially if it's something you're not familiar with or you've never done. I wasn't in the food business. I mean, I love to cook, but it wasn't a profession. And there's so many little areas that I didn't think about as I was moving through it and budgeting. And I don't like doing spreadsheets, so I had to get good at that.
Yeah.
But, I would say that you've kind of got to listen to what's being posed to you, meaning that question that I was asked. I could have just said, oh no, I can't do this for a living. Oh, they're going to make a quarter a jar. But I didn't think like that.
Yeah.
I literally, I was open to it and I said, yes. And I can't say what that was. I guess it's that 2 seconds response of trusting your gut. I just finished listening to Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, which kind of talks about, he does talk about that. That's a lot of it, is your first reaction or your gut instinct. And I truly believe in that. That's why I'm where I'm at now.
Wow.
Had I not trusted my gut or was open to listening, I would not be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I would still be struggling to figure out what that was or what I want to do. I would say don't be afraid to ask for help.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to tell friends.
Yeah.
Trust your gut. And people are supportive. The community supports you when you're trying to do something. And I asked a million questions to so many people. And I even had people say, you know, are you sure you want to do this? It's a crowded field. we carry them on, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know what? There's room for more. There's always room for someone else's take on something.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'd say go for it.
So good. All right. Before we wrap up this segment, I lived in Northern California for 13 years, something like that. And one thing I loved about California versus the East Coast was the robustness of the food culture there.
Right.
There's so much available to you, whether it's fresh produce, fresh fruits, really organic, natural, you know, grass-fed beefs and other things like that. There's so many options for you. You seem like you're constantly exploring. What are some flavors that you're excited about that you haven't quite figured out how to integrate in what you're doing?
Well, I did have one that I did integrate. However, it wasn't, people didn't know what to do with it unless they tasted it.
Okay.
So I had a balsamic onion savory spread.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
I only did one batch of it because people, I might have done two now that I think about, but anyway, I kind of shelved it for a while now because if it's sitting on the shelf and people don't know what to do with balsamic onion,
yeah,
they just kind of hesitate. I think as we get more known as a brand and people know that my products are tasty or, you know, you can use them for cooking as well as just toast, I think that will help our chances in re-releasing that. But that was that took me 2 years to get jarred because of, I wanted the texture to be still crunchy, but I wanted to have that roasted, like caramelized onion flavor.
Yeah.
It took a while to get that just right. And like I said, when I did it, people who would taste it, like I'd pair it with goat cheese or brie or put it on, you know, a sandwich, and the response was great. However, that being said, when it's on sitting on a shelf in a store, people are like, balsamic onion, what do I do with that? So I would say that would be one I'd like to bring back. I have a list of flavors in my head that I want to do. One's pear.
Okay.
But pear is going to be tricky. I've already played with it a little. It's tricky in that once it's scaled up, depending on the process that takes place in the big kettles, it can become like applesauce real fast.
Oh.
So it kind of acts like an apple.
Yeah.
So if it's not done perfectly, it will miss the jelly kind of, or the jam kind of texture that I would be looking for, and becomes more, like I say, like applesauce. And I've had pear, I did it once, it just for myself here in the kitchen, but, the best pear spread I ever had besides mine was, I tasted in Paris and I just fell in love with it. And I thought, I really would like to make something like that. So I would say that would probably be one of the more challenging ones for me to do at some point. But, I'm always looking to explore. I'd like to do a salad dressing too. I make one all the time with my fig.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you're launching a new cherry spread.
Yes. I can't wait. It's so good.
I love cherry spreads. I use it for cooking duck, actually. And love it. I found out this. I have a good friend who's a really well-known chef and incredible chef. She said cherry's like one of the most expensive fruits. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. I know it won't be an inexpensive project for me to do.
Yeah.
But it's finished. I have to do the labels, and again, kind of putting it on hold for right now. But it is done. It's delicious, and like you just said, I can't wait to cook with it. More than anything else, I want to put it on food.
Yeah.
So once I do, I will let you know. But that's the next one. That one and the snickerdoodle mix will be hopefully this year, and then next year we'll see.
Yeah. Super cool. Now, remind people where they can find and connect with you one more time before we wrap this segment up.
Sure. So on our website, it's justjans.com. And then on Amazon also, we are on Amazon. And then on our Just Jans site, there's a where to buy tab.
Mm.
So if you click on that, it will show you state by state where we might be available in your area. Of course, that being said, until this virus goes away or does whatever it's going to do. Probably the best place to find us is online. And we're shipping I'm shipping everything I have local access to until it sells out. Our warehouse is closed now. So I had the foresight to go and grab a whole bunch of it and store it so I can get it shipped out. So hopefully this won't last too long.
Yeah. And we'll have those links in the episode notes. So wherever you're listening, you can go just click those magical links. They take you to lands of goodness. So go click them and taste some good food. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, it's rapid fire questions. There is a lot going on at JumbleThink, and we want to keep you in the loop to let you know about upcoming episodes, about idea camps, about some really cool things going on. So how do you stay in touch? Head on over to JumbleThink.com. You can sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know about exciting announcements here at JumbleThink. You can also head on over to Facebook and join our Facebook page and our Facebook group. So if you're that dreamer, that idea maker, that creative, that entrepreneur, and you want to get connected with other people just like you, check out the Facebook group. Now, you can find all of the links to our social media and to the newsletter simply by heading on over to JumbleThink.com. So head on over right now, sign up for that newsletter, and let's connect, let's dream together, and let's change this world together. Now let's jump into rapid fire questions.
Levez seulement le bras pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque. Mettez le contact.
We are back with Jan Hogru. All right, are you ready for rapid fire questions?
I hope so. I'm going to give it my best shot, Mike.
All right. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A dancer. Professional dancer.
And did you get to do that?
I actually did. I was a tap dancer. I tap danced for about 20 years. I took ballet and Hawaiian and all that. And I taught classes at a couple studios when I was going through college. But yeah, I wanted to be a professional dancer. And no, I didn't get to do it professionally. My parents wanted me to get a proper education, so they said. So that kind of had to put that aside. But
yeah,
still love the art of dance. So always a dancer in my heart.
What is one tip you'd give someone with a big idea or dream and they don't know where to start?
Don't be afraid. Trust your gut. Don't be afraid to tell friends and ask for help. I know that was more than one thing, but
no, that's good. That's good. What is one change you would like to see in the world?
Okay. Well, obviously top of mind is the end of this virus. So, and yeah, we have to talk about it. And I guess also to become more patient and more inclusive.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Legacy would be providing delicious food to share with friends and family and community.
Where do you find inspiration?
Go back to the community word again for people who taste it and tell me that it reminds them of home.
What is one book you think every dreamer should read?
L.A. Sun by Roy Choi.
Okay. Great. Roy Choi.
He's incredible. His journey may not have been. I know these are short answers. Do you want me to stop?
No, you're fine. You're good.
His journey goes into darker places than I'm sure a lot of people experience. But nonetheless, it was his journey. And he was so open to sharing how basically this becoming a chef saved his life.
Wow.
And I just find how he got there and the way he shares his story and that he incorporates the recipes of his childhood and his mom. It is truly inspirational. Mm. And we in LA are fortunate to have his food trucks meandering around town here and there and everywhere. And he's just I would highly recommend that even if you don't interested about food at all, his story is truly inspirational.
For you, how do you define success?
I would say it's affecting people in a positive way.
Mm.
I don't look at it. I never got into this thinking I was going to be, I didn't look at the dollar aspect of it. I didn't try and make a quick buck and still working to just keep it alive today. But I think for me, success is doing what you love and affecting people in a positive way. I guess that would be the short answer for me.
What is one trend you are currently excited about?
Healthier eating.
Mm.
I think, I mean, I would have to say that that's the short answer, healthier eating, and innovative eating, meaning people not being so afraid to experiment in the kitchen and using what's seasonal or, you know, or kind of having to, like right now, using what we have available to us, which now becomes our four walls, you know?
Yeah. What is one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
Starting smaller. no joke. I don't know what I thought of when I was thinking eight flavors. I'm not quite sure. Even my co-packer said, and I love him, he just said, Jan, you know, eight flavors is a lot. He's from Arkansas, has a very thick accent. And he said, maybe you want to start out with three.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm going big or going home. Had I had it to start again, I would have probably said, let's do three, maybe four. So yeah, that would be, if I'd known, if I knew then what I know now, that would be the answer.
What is one habit you find helpful in your life?
Wow. Well, two things. So if I can, the first one would be yoga. I feel like doing physical activity in some way, shape, or form, whether it's walking my puppy or doing yoga, helps me with the work-life balance because it is a lifestyle and I do work more than I've ever worked before. But also my little habit that I have learned that one of my daughters taught me is baking sourdough bread.
Oh. It seems to be a big thing right now during coronavirus. For some reason, sourdough bread seems to be a hot trend.
Well, there you go. We can put that in with the trend part. But I finally made my fifth batch the other day, and it was the best one I've made. And I'm learning the process of it from understanding the bread part of it and that it's live and how to kind of read it when it's ready or it's not ready. And there's a lot of stuff going on there. So it's kind of cool when you figure it out. I mean, I've made some mistakes for sure. And some loaves have been like, oh boy. But this last batch, I can honestly say, and I posted it on Instagram because they were beautiful. That's been a cool habit. And it's a 3-day process. So anyway, that's my new habit of the week.
If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you'd be doing?
I don't know, sitting on a beach somewhere with a cocktail. probably if I weren't doing this business, I mean, I would love to continue to be in the food business, but if it were a choice between I couldn't be in this business and doing something else, maybe teaching dance or working on a documentary that I started years ago that's still sitting in a film can somewhere.
What is one dream you are still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
Growing this business.
Yeah.
It is a dream. I mean, it has evolved into a dream that I didn't know I had.
Wow.
And I want to see it continue to grow to the point where one day I could maybe have a little brick and mortar kitchen where I'm baking scones from my own mixes and using my spreads and kind of having like a little bakery place here in Southern California. So it's all connected to this business. I don't think I would want to do anything else.
As we wrap up, we always like to have our guests have the final thought. So what's your final thought for all of us listening today?
Well, first I want to say thank you for having me and thank you to your listeners for listening to my stories and my dog chewing on his bone. Final thought would be all of us just, you know, getting through this, what's going on today, and that to be grateful for the family and friends that we have surrounding us. It's kind of an emotional time.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd get there, but it is. And so it's people like you who are inviting those of us in who are working through this from their professional standpoint and sharing our stories. And I think we all need to just continue to do that. So my thought would be, of course, everyone stay healthy and continue to share our stories and don't be afraid to live your dream and to try and, you know, look at your passion and say, hey, I really want to do this and to go forward, and that we have a lot of time right now that we didn't have because we were so busy doing work and all the other things in life. And we've kind of been brought to a standstill.
Yeah.
So I kind of invite people to look inside and go, okay, what do I need to change that maybe I can shift gears in my life after this? So maybe this is, you know, causing a lot of people to rethink what they do every day. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
So.
Love that.
For your dream. Yeah. There you go.
Jan, thanks so much for taking time out to being on the show today. It's been a lot of fun to hear your stories and to hear what you're building. We wish you the best in all that you do. And hopefully this coronavirus will be over soon and we'll be able to see you explore the possibilities of new flavors and ideas. We're super excited to see what you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Once again, we want to thank Jan for taking time out and being on the show. You can find links to Just Jan's and all that she is creating in the episode notes. We also want to thank our friends over at Floxy for sponsoring today's show. Whether you need graphic design, web development, or video editing, they can be your monthly subscription to incredible, incredible design development and editing. So head on over to Floxy, FLOCKSY.com/jumblethink to get 10% off your first month. Now, here's my final thought for today's show. I love that Jan shared how she was discontent with where she was at. She didn't know what was the next right step, but she took a leap and a hobby, something that she did for fun, became a career that she loves. I think for many of us, we think and overthink what the next right step is, and sometimes it's right in front of us. My encouragement to you today, especially dealing with coronavirus and everything that's going on, is if you are discontent at where you're at and what's going on in your life, maybe it's a great time to take a leap of faith, a leap into the unknown, and see what could happen. Now, I'm not saying you have to leave your job right away, but maybe you start a little side hustle, a little side thing that is just for you, something fun that you get to enjoy doing, solving a problem that you enjoy contemplating about. And then it turns into something more. Well, whatever it is, I encourage you that you take some time to think about it, to dream today, and to take that risk to invest into the dreams and ideas you have. Thanks for tuning in to Jumblethink. Now it's your turn to dream big and to change the world around you.
Les mères de famille, les enfants peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant dans quelques mois. Lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.